You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 10. We will focus our attention this morning on verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. On last Sunday, I spoke to you from the subject, Return to Your First Love. That message centered around the fact that God is not interested in having a loveless relationship with His church. He congratulated the church for their hard work and their willingness to endure suffering. He congratulated them because they hated evil and they suffered for His name's sake. But He said, I have one issue with you. You don't love Me or each other like you used to. So God says to them, more than your work, more than your gifts, more than your talent, more than your sacrifice and your suffering, I want your love. I am not satisfied, or I refuse to accept being in a loveless relationship with you. I don't care how much you work. If you don't love Me, it doesn't do Me any good. He says, I want you to return to Me. And so we have been called to take the shift, to examine ourselves, to see where we are in our love relationship with God. This week, I looked through the scriptures and I found some specific blessings that God gives to people who love them. And I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you, so you might want to get your pen and paper out now, because some of these are very familiar scriptures, but when we quote these scriptures, we don't focus on the element of love. So I want to walk you through some of our scriptures that we like to quote a lot. One of my favorites is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that says, and we know that all things work together for the good. Usually we stop there and say, listen, I know that it works together for the good. All things work together for the good. Whatever the thing is working together for my good. And I want to encourage you to read the rest of that verse, because it said it all works together for the good to them that love God, and are called according to His purpose. Come on. The promise is for those who love God. Not those who come to church. Not those who come pay tithes and offering. Not those who speak in tongues. Not those who lay hands on the sick and they recover. No, to those that love God. Come on, somebody. It's all working together for the good. So if you know that you have a love relationship with God, you can say this scripture applies to me. Whatever the thing is working together for the good because I love God. Here's another scripture we quote a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I heard this a lot when I was growing up. It says, but as it is written, eyes haven't seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for them that what? Love Him. Come on, somebody. We say, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for us. And He tells us that God has prepared some special things for us. But who is the us? Them that love Him. Come on, somebody. God is saying, if you love Me, I got some things prepared for you that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard and men haven't. It's so wonderful that men haven't even thought about it yet, and I have it prepared for you. Well, one of the wonderful things about Christmas and birthdays is that we get to give gifts to those who love us and to those that we love. And so God is saying, I have some special things prepared for those who love Me. He won't be in a loveless relationship with you because He has some things prepared. A couple of more scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Oh, come on. If you love God, he knows you. Now let's be clear here. God is aware of everybody. Come on. But when the Bible talks about knowing somebody, it's talking about having intimacy with that person, knowing them on a deep and personal level. And I want you to know, it is a good thing that we don't have to reintroduce ourselves to God every Sunday. Come on, somebody. It's a good thing that you don't have to say, God, my name is Tim Brewington. I was born in 1973. My parents are Rosie and Tim, and I'm here again. Let me introduce myself to you. Why? Because he knows me. Anybody glad to know that God knows you? He says, if you love me, I know you. I know who loves me. Last one, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Come on, somebody. He says, listen, not only do I not know those who don't love me, but those who say they know me, but they don't have love, they don't know me at all. Why? Because God is love. Hear this. God doesn't show love. God doesn't demonstrate love. God doesn't give love away. No, God is love. And so when you are filled with God, you are filled with love. Come on, somebody. If you know God, you know love. If you experience God, you experience love. I don't know what kind of church we have created in this season where people can say they know God, but they're mean and hateful and disrespectful. Let me tell you, you don't know him at all. You know the God of your imagination, but you don't know the true and the living God, because the true and the living God is love. And people who spend time with the true and living God know how to love people. I can't get no help in here. You pray 7 days a week, 4 hours a day, and you're still mean? Come on, somebody. You don't know. You're not praying to the right person. Let me introduce you to the God who is love. Come on, somebody. Says you don't know me at all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, last one I want you to write down. He says, grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. He speaks that there is a grace that is given to those who love him with sincerity. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God giving us things that we don't deserve. And the Bible says that for those of us who love him with sincerity, guess what? You get stuff you don't deserve. Come on. Somebody ought to be glad that God is the God who gives us things that we don't deserve. He says, and I'll do it, not because you're perfect, not because you always do the right thing, but I give it because you love me. Today I want to talk to you about cultivating a heart for God. Getting your heart in the place where you can love God with sincerity. The challenge that we have is that because of sin, our hearts don't naturally bend towards God. Because of sin, our default position is against God. The Bible says we were enemies of God. When you came here, an enemy of God. Your default position is sin. We don't have to learn how to sin. We don't have to learn how to lie. Come on. Who took a class on how to lie? No, you came here knowing how to do that. Huh? You don't have to learn how to cheat, be dishonest. You don't have to learn how to seek your own way. Selfishness is not learned. You came here selfish. Why? When you came here, first thing you cried out because you wanted some attention. You came here crying out, needing something. You don't have to learn it. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So listen, I know this might be bad news for some of you, but you came here with a heart that was against God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. That means out of all the things that the heart is, it is more deceitful than anything else. Like the top thing that it does is deceive. Your heart is a liar. Your heart is a masterful liar. Don't raise your hand. But how many of y'all know that you listened to your heart and your heart led you down the wrong direction? Come on, somebody. And they say, what's in your heart? No. Don't listen to what your heart says, because your heart is deceitful. Your heart is a liar. The heart that you were born with is a liar. It says your heart is deceitful above all things. And then it says it is desperately wicked. Not just mean, no, desperately wicked. That is the heart that we now have to cultivate so that it turns towards God. That is the miracle of salvation, that God takes a heart that is hard, that is cold, that is deceitful, and he makes it a heart that loves. The Bible says that he takes out the stony heart and he puts in the heart of flesh. That's why salvation is a miracle, because it doesn't matter how wicked or evil or sick your heart is. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you go through a heart transplant. Come on, somebody. What used to be changes because of Christ. Listen, God's been doing heart transplants long before the Mayo Clinic figured out how to do it. Come on, somebody. He's been doing heart transplants for a long time, and he never loses a case. But if our hearts are going to bend towards God, our hearts need to go through a transformation. And for the purpose of our conversation this morning, I'm going to call that transformation cultivating a heart for God. Understand what the word cultivate means. The word cultivate means to prepare and use land for crops. It means to loosen or to break up the soil. It means to foster the growth of. So when you cultivate land, you're preparing the land to receive seed. Because without that process, the land will not receive. So I want us to consider this morning that our heart is a land that needs to be prepared for God, needs to be broken up and loosened for God, to foster a growing relationship with him, so that when we receive the seed of the word, the seed goes into an environment that is ready and prepared to receive the seed and produce the crops. One of the best scriptures that I've found that demonstrates this is Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, which is the scripture that we will focus on this morning. Hosea chapter 10, Verse 12 says, "So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." This scripture describes several steps that we have to go through to cultivate a heart for God. First, this scripture tells us that we have to sow. When we sow, then we have to break up. And then he says we have to seek. So first he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Some versions of the scripture say, plant for yourself seeds of righteousness. But when we sow, understand that sowing is an intentional act. Sowing is deliberate. A farmer doesn't walk past a field and just hope one day that field will start to produce. No, the farmer intentionally does the act of sowing. This scripture says, sow for yourselves. My brothers and my sisters, there are some things that you are going to have to do yourself. Come on, somebody. That it's not going to happen just because you sit here and listen for 30 minutes. No, when you leave here, you have to do something. You have to actively participate in sowing seeds of righteousness. Understand what you're doing when you sow. When we sow, we are feeding the earth what we eventually want to eat. Let me say it again. When you sow, you are feeding the earth what you want to eat. When you sow corn, that's because you want some corn on the cob on 4th of July. Come on. When you sow strawberries, you don't get mad at the field because one day you decided you wanted blueberries and it's producing strawberries when you sowed strawberries. Huh? So whatever it is, y'all got to hear this. Whatever it is you want to eat, that's what you feed the earth. Come on, somebody. And if you don't like what you are eating, it's never the seed's fault. Because the seed didn't plant itself. Come on, somebody. It's always the farmer's fault. Because the farmer is responsible for sowing the seed. Can I tell you, if you don't like the fruit that's in your house when you get home, don't get mad at your house. Somebody's been planting poison ivy and you should have been planting some vegetables. Come on, somebody. Galatians chapter 6 says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap of the flesh destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. Come on, somebody. You reap what you sow. Come on, somebody. You don't like what's on the menu? It's not the menu's fault. You've been planting the wrong seed. Come on, somebody. Remember, it was November or December. God gave me a word to share with you that if you want to eat something different in 2020, you got to plant something different in 2019. And some of us, I can tell you, left here and you planted some different stuff. But some of us left here and planted the same old poison ivy expecting to get roses. Come on, somebody. You reap what you sow. If you want to reap a harvest of righteousness, you have to sow seeds of righteousness. If you want to live in a house that's full of love and grace and mercy, you have to sow love and grace and mercy. You can't sow accusation and threat and expect to reap love and grace. You can't sow deceit and hiding stuff and expect to reap transparency? Absolutely not. If you want love in your house, you go to your house and you plant seeds of love and it will produce. If you want a spiritual harvest, you got to plant spiritual things. You can't invest all of your energy in Facebook and TV and Netflix and hanging out in your friends and expect to reap a harvest of faith and grace and courage. Come on, somebody. Somebody, you need to replant your harvest. There's something in the ground that shouldn't be planted. I'm going to move on, but here's how we sow, so that you can be clear. Every word you speak is a seed that you're planting, because the words that come out of your mouth come back to you. Come on, somebody. And not just the words that you say out loud, but the words that you say to yourself. When you look in the mirror and you are telling yourself about how ugly and how lousy you are, what you are doing, you are planting ugly flowers. So your house is going to be ugly because you done planted seeds of ugliness out of your mouth. Be careful what you say out of your mouth. Now, this is how we used to say it when I was young. We would say that I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say to me bounces off of me and sticks to you. Come on, somebody. You better be careful what you say. Every word that comes out of your mouth is a seed that you're planting. Parents, the words that you speak create the environment that your children grow up in. The words that you speak determines how they feel about themselves. The words that you speak determines their level of security and confidence in who they are. You got to plant seeds of greatness into their children. Even if they bring home an F, you got to tell them, I know you're going to do better next time because greatness is in you. Come on, somebody. Your words create. You want to raise a child who doesn't know who they are, you keep telling them how lousy they are, and they're going to show you how lousy they can be. I'm sorry. The words you speak are seeds. The thoughts that you think create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew a right spirit in me. You're planting seeds in your thoughts. And your thoughts are producing things in your life that's not righteous. Last thing, the decisions that you make are seeds. Come on. And I'm not talking about the big decisions. It's not the big decisions that determine the direction of your life. It's the little decisions that you make every single day that impact the direction of your life. The life you live today is based upon the decisions that you made yesterday. If you want a different today, or you want a different tomorrow, you got to plant some different seeds today. You got to make some different decisions today than you made the other day. What you plant in your heart is what your heart will produce. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Last point that I'm gonna move on. Can I tell y'all? Nothing ever slips out of your mouth. That's a lie. Because before it came out of your mouth, you thought about it. You've been sitting on that a long time. And you just waited for the opportunity, for the topic to come up, for the temperature in the room to change. You say, this is my opportunity to say something that I've been thinking about. Why? Because you planted that seed last season, and you've been watering it and letting it grow to the point where you let it come out. If you got a problem controlling your tongue, the problem is not your tongue. The problem is your heart. You keep telling yourself, I'm not going to say that. Don't you go in there and say that. Don't say that. You need to tell your heart, don't think that. Don't believe that. Don't respond to that, because whatever's in your heart eventually is coming out your mouth. And the first time it comes out your mouth is not the first time you thought about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. You want to know what you should think about? It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. That's what you need to think about. And then in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he says, if you plant seeds of righteousness, you shall reap in mercy. Some scriptures say, some versions say, you shall reap in kindness, or you shall reap in love. Here is the thing. You sow righteousness, you reap love. Come on. You sow righteousness, you reap mercy. You get back what you put in. Somebody need to think about that today, because you're blaming everybody else for why your life is the way it is. Some of us have even blamed God for our current situations. And God is saying, I'm responsible for sending the rain. You plant the seed. I bring the rain. So whatever you've planted, I'm going to rain on what you've planted. And the very thing that you planted is what's coming out the ground. Don't get mad at me, because I rain on the just and the unjust. I don't participate in discrimination. I rain on everybody. And whatever you put in the ground is what's coming up. Oh, come on, somebody. That's what's coming up. Let me tell you, I've been digging in my garden, y'all. I've been tearing my entire garden up, because I don't know about you, but there's some things that I'm tired of it sprouting up every once in a while. You know, when you're trying to pull out a weed, I used to think you just cut off the surface. No. You got to go down and get to the root of the thing. That's the power of the word. The word doesn't do surface work. No, the word gets down to the root of the thing. Hallelujah. And it deals with the root. Lord have mercy. Some of us have been struggling way too long because we won't allow God to get to the root. Why? Because it hurts when he gets to the root. Anybody had a root canal? It's painful when he gets to the root. But when it's all over, you feel so much better. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. Got to get to the root of the thing. Hear me. It's going to hurt, but you got to get to the root of it so that you can be healed. Next, he says, break up the fallow ground. Now, fallow ground is hard ground. You can't plant seed on hard ground. Lord have mercy. You have to break up the seed. You have to break up the hard ground before you plant the seed. Why? Because hard ground can't receive seed. That's why every Sunday I pray before I preach, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Because you could come to church Sunday after Sunday and hear message after message. You can hear a message on Sunday and listen to your favorite televangelist every day during the week. But if your heart is hard, you will not receive the word. That's why you can hear the word and your life doesn't change. Why? Because the word comes and it hits hard ground. My brothers and my sisters, if the word is not producing, it's never the seed's fault. It's always the ground's fault. The farmer doesn't curse his seed. He curses his ground because it's the ground's fault. It's either too hard, too dry, or too wet. It's never the seed's fault. And here's what we do. We will hear a word, and if it doesn't work for us, then we will blame the word. Let me tell you, the word is quick, and it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is never the problem. You, my friend, you, my brother, are the problem. Your hard heart is the problem. I don't know anybody who's received the word and it not produced life in them, but I know a lot of people who have heard the word, but their heart was hard and it didn't produce. Can I tell you, the seed is powerful. The ground is the problem. Come on, somebody, you got to break up the hard ground. There are two areas in our life, and I'm going to try to speed through here, that causes our hearts to be hard. First of all, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is hard ground. You cannot receive the seed of the word of God with unforgiveness in your heart. Come on, somebody. You cannot accept God's love for you with unforgiveness in your heart. You never believe that God forgives you if you don't forgive others. Come on. You'll never be able to break through the place that is stuck in your life if you have a spirit of unforgiveness. Let me tell you, if you want to cultivate a heart for God, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you've got to forgive everybody. Forgive your mama, forgive your daddy, forgive your uncle, forgive your cousin, forgive your last pastor, forgive your current pastor. Whoever has messed you up, you got to forgive them, not for your benefit, but so that for their benefit, but so that you cultivate a heart for God, so that when the word comes, you are an open vessel ready to receive what he has for us. I'm not going to let somebody else's failure cause me to miss what God. Let me tell you, you got to break that spirit of unforgiveness off of you. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but your sickness is the result of unforgiveness. Your addiction is the result of unforgiveness. That vicious cycle you are in is a result of unforgiveness. If you are bold enough today to break that cycle of unforgiveness, you will experience life in God that before today has been hidden from you. Aren't you tired of starting over? Aren't you tired of trying it once again? Aren't you tired of saying, let me try it one more time? There is no more one more time. Today is the day that you break the spirit of unforgiveness off of you. Ain't nothing else going to help you. Nothing else going to deliver you. Nothing else matters if your heart is hard and you're not able to forgive. Second thing that makes your heart hard is pride. Come on, somebody. And not the pride of, I think I'm better than you. Not that kind of pride, because nobody actually believes that, okay? It's the pride to think that your way is better than God's way. Come on, somebody. To think that what you think is right is what's right. To think that you are in the position to tell God what is good for you. To think that you are in the position to tell God that's not fair. You are pride, somebody. You're going to come to God and tell God what he should do for you, what he should allow in your life, what he should not allow in our life. What makes the creature think he is strong enough to tell the creator what he should have created. Come on, somebody. There's something wrong in the soul of the church today to think that we can put demands on God, and we are arrogant enough to think that our way is God's way, and that we can just do what we want to do and expect God to just go along with whatever we say. What an arrogant, prideful church we are if we think we can put demands on the living God, that our way is the best way, and so we fast and pray, convincing him to do things our way. We give our money thinking we can pay him to do things our way. We give our time to make we think that we can serve him enough. If I serve him hard enough, then he'll do things my way. Listen, God is never going to do things your way. He is always going to do things his way. Yeah, and a heart that is not willing to submit to God's way cannot receive the word of the Lord. Verse 13, I wasn't planning on reading this verse, but listen to what verse 13 says. It says, but you have cultivated wickedness and harvested a thriving crops of sins. You have eaten the fruit of lies, trusting in your military might, believing that your great armies could make your nation safe. You know why their heart was hard? Because they began to believe they didn't need to trust God for deliverance. They begin to believe that their own resources was enough to make them great. So when God would say one way, they went another way because they had convinced themselves that they didn't need to trust God for deliverance. Can I tell you, whatever you are in right now, you need God for deliverance. There's not enough resources in this world that can pull us out of the things that we are in. We need God to deliver us. So break up that fallow ground, break up the heart place, whatever is in your heart that is keeping you from having a relationship with God. You have to break it up. You have to stand against it. You have to refuse to accept it. I don't care if it's a relationship or a job or a hobby or a habit, whatever it is, you need to break that thing up if it's keeping you from having a relationship with God. And if you're not sure, pray and ask God to speak to you and say, God, show me. You know, we used to say, Lord, search my heart. How come we don't say that no more? We used to say, Lord, search my heart. And if you find anything that's in me that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. Oh, for a church that's not afraid to pray, God, search our hearts. We're not trying to hold on to what's in our hearts or protect our hearts. No, God, search our hearts and take out anything that's in us that doesn't please you. Cultivating a heart for God. Last point here. He says, last part of that verse, he says, it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Look at what he says. It's time to seek the Lord. Prophet, how long are we supposed to seek the Lord? Until he rains righteousness upon you. How long am I supposed to pray? Until he rains righteousness upon you. How long am I supposed to plow this field? Until he rains righteousness upon you. How long do I plant these seeds of righteousness when nothing else is coming up? Until he rains righteousness upon you. He says, this is what time it is. You want to know what time it is? It's time to seek the Lord. Can I tell you, if you look around what's happening in this world today, you have to agree that it's time to seek the Lord. If you look at what's happening in our families, we got to recognize it's time to seek the Lord. When we look and see what's happening even in our churches, we've got to recognize that it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to make a shift. We have got to change our focus and our attention. We are so distracted by the things of this world that the church is the last thing on our mind. We have an excuse for everything when it comes to the things of God. And God is left with our bonus time. So after I've done this activity, and if I don't have anything else scheduled, and if I'm not tired in my body, or if I didn't have a rough week, I'm helping somebody. We make God the last thing. Oh, but don't get in trouble. Don't get sick in your body. Don't get laid off your job. Then you want God to stop everything he's doing and spend time with you. But you put him last on your list. God doesn't operate like that. He is going to be first in your life or not at all. Oh, help me somebody. God's not going to be your side chick. God's not going to be your girlfriend. No, he wants to be married to you in a committed relationship with no other lovers. It's just him and you. And he says, if that's not what you want, you don't want me. Because I'm the marrying kind, huh? I'm not looking for a long-term girlfriend with weekend visits. No, I want a wife. I want a bride. I want someone who can know me and I can know them. I want to show myself to them and I want them to show themselves to me. That's what kind of relationship that I want. I'm not going to be the person you come to after you done tried everything else and everything has failed and now you try Jesus like I'm your last result. No, try me first and you won't waste your time and your money and your energy trying all these other things that don't work. Isaiah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He says, there's a time to seek the Lord while he may be found, which suggests there's going to come a time where people are going to seek him and not find him. Oh, come on. There's going to be a time. He says, call on him while he is near. He said, call on him while he is within earshot. So he can hear you when you call, which suggests there's going to be a time where people are going to call and he won't hear. So now is the time to seek him. Because if you seek for him now, you'll find him. If you call on him now, he'll hear you. But a time is coming where that won't be the case. 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way. This is how you seek the Lord. The first step in seeking the Lord is forsake your way. Whatever your way is, forsake it. Then he says, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So forget your way and forget your thoughts. Come on, somebody. Let me say it again because somebody got offended. I want to make sure you know why you are offended. Forget your way and forget your thoughts. Your way is wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. His way is right. His thoughts are right. Forget your way. Your way. And y'all know your way doesn't work. If your way worked, you wouldn't be in the trouble you're in right now. If your way worked, you wouldn't have the battle scars that you have right now. Why are you still letting your heart tell you that your way works? Your way has never worked. Seeking the Lord requires intentionality. Can I take a station break? Y'all working me hard this morning. Y'all need to hear this word. I feel like I'm breaking up some fallow ground right here in this pulpit. Lord have mercy. Seeking the Lord requires intentionality. That you deliberately seek him. Just like planting. When you plant, there's a whole thought process that happens before you plant. First of all, you have to identify the field that you want to plant it on. Then you have to figure out what grows well in that climate. And then based upon what grows well in that climate, then you have to decide what seed to plant. Some of us allow ourselves to be in an environment that's not conducive to cultivating a heart for God. Your ground is good. The seed is good. But your environment is all messed up. That's why you're planting and plowing, but nothing's growing. Why? Because your environment is messed up. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to go home and clean up your environment. You got stuff under the bed. You got stuff in the cabinet. You got relationships that you're a part of that have created an environment in your life that does not produce the fruit of the word in your life. Your ground is good. The seed is good. But your environment is all messed up. God says, fix your environment. Fix your environment. You got to be intentional. You got to decide that God is first in my life. And I'm going to remove anything in my life that interferes with my relationship with him. I'm going to be intentionally. I'm going to seek God on purpose. I'm not going to fall into him or stumble upon him. No, I am going to seek him on purpose. Intentionally. Then he says, do this until he come and rain righteousness upon you. The Old Testament prophets, when they speak of God raining on his people, they speak of God raining his grace and his blessings upon his people. They speak of God fulfilling his promise to his people. It gives us the understanding that when we do our part, God will do his part. We can't send rain, but we can plant and we can plow. And he says, listen, you plant, you plow, and God will send the rain. Come on, somebody, because that's the one thing you can't control. You can't control the weather. So we seek God until he pours down on us. We plant seeds of righteousness until he rains righteousness on us. Notice, first part of the verse says, plant seeds of righteousness. The last part of the verse says he's going to rain righteousness on us. He gives to us what we plant, you see. Rain only matters to people who have seed in the ground. Come on, somebody. Lord have mercy. Listen, I love the rain. You know why? Because I know I got some seed in the ground. I have a field that I have been working and plowing and breaking up the hard places and planting a seed. And so when the clouds get dark and I start to smell the rain, I'm not like some people who get upset with rain. Let me tell you who loves the rain. Farmers love the rain. Come on. You mad because you had to cancel your cookout because of the rain. But the farmer is celebrating because the drought is over. And I hear God say, listen, I was in the spirit the other day and I smelled rain, saints. I don't know how it happened. Hallelujah. But I smelt the rain. Y'all know how it's like in summer. And you know when you smell it? When the clouds get dark. In the middle of the day. you smell the rain. Lord have mercy before it comes. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't see it, but I smell it. Come on, somebody. Can I be a spiritual meteorologist this morning and tell you that the weather there, it is partly cloudy with a chance of rain. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I know it's been cloudy in your life already in 2020, but let me tell you, there can be no rain without clouds. When you see the clouds coming, that means it's about to rain. And if you've been planting seeds of righteousness and breaking up the fallow ground, rain is good news for you. I come to tell you, he's about to rain righteousness upon us. Would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. We'll bring this to the close. Lord, I feel you here. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you have been planting and plowing for a long time. Hallelujah. And God says, I'm about to rain on you, and you will reap the harvest. So we say, rain on us, Lord. Rain on us, Lord. Pour out on us. Hallelujah. Today. For we have planted, and we're looking for rain. Before we pray, I want to say that it is time for us to seek the Lord, to push in closer to him, to be deliberate about planting seeds of righteousness. Manage your thought life. Don't let every thought that comes in your mind take root in your heart. Root up every lie that the devil is telling you. So somebody, the enemy's told you this week that it's never going to change. He's a liar and the truth isn't in him. The adversary told somebody in this room, you're never going to get it together. You missed your chance. Let me tell you, the devil is a liar. The only one that missed their chance is him. He had a chance to be in the presence of the Lord forever. And he let pride get in the way, and he lost his chance. Come on, somebody. The only one that don't have hope is him. Everybody else has a chance. Come on, somebody. He's the loser. Come on, somebody. Jesus died on the cross to guarantee your victory. Lord, have mercy. Don't you listen to what he says. You plant seeds of righteousness. When you plant seeds, you got to go through seasons. And when the season changes, the seed produces. Listen, you're just in a season right now. Come on. Every farmer goes through a season of waiting. What does he do? He plants and then he waits. He plants and then he waits. Then it rains. Then he plants. Then it rains. But sooner or later, he starts seeing something come out of the ground. And even when he sees it coming out the ground, it's not time to harvest it yet. You still got to wait. Come on. See, some of y'all move too quick. You saw a little bit of blade coming through the ground, and you're ready to pull it up, and you're wondering why it's immature. Let that thing sit in there a little while. Come on. Don't move too early. He just lets you see that life is on the way. It's not ready, but it's on the way. And then he waits some more. It rains some more. And he waits. But the whole time, he's preparing. Because he knows how this cycle ends. Come on, somebody. He knows how this ends. This ends with him being able to harvest his crop. You're in a season right now. But we know how this season ends. He says, if you do it, you shall reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint just because it's hot. You haven't seen rain. Faint means giving up, turned away. Because guess what? Last point, then we'll pray. A field cannot harvest itself. The farmer has to participate in it. Why am I saying this? God said, some of us, we left too early. We gave up. We didn't take the time to wait until the harvest matured. And somebody else got the harvest that you planted. That's not going to happen to me anymore, y'all. I know what that feels like. Now I trust God enough that if you told me to plant in this field, I'm going to stay right here, plant and plow in this field until you send the rain. Can I tell y'all, Fellowship Church, it's been raining in here. I said it's been raining. Look around. It's been raining in here. I said, it's been raining in here. Hallelujah. Hey, and what happens corporately happens individually. As the church receives its harvest, you are going to receive your harvest. Come on, somebody. It's harvest time. Let us pray.